Cat Chat and Dog Talk. I'm Tracy Hotchner, here with my co-host, Dr. Sean, the natural vet, on our new show. We love cats and dogs and the people who care for them. We're here for 2 whole hours to answer any question you have about your pets. The number is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. We'd love to hear from you. You can also email us at radiopetlady@gmail.com before any show, and we'll answer your question on the air. And don't forget that if you write us at radiopetlady@gmail.com, you'll get a free box full of freeze-dried protein treats from Whole Life Pet, good for dogs and cats. We'd like to thank our sponsors, Waruva Pet Food, Precious Cat Litter, Nordic Naturals Omega-3 Fish Oil, and The Honest Kitchen Raw Dehydrated Pet Food made in a human food facility. Cat Chat and Dog Talk is a production of 8 Paws LLC and Dr. Sean Messonnier DVM PC, which are solely responsible for its content. Also want to thank the newest sponsors of the show, Platinum Performance Supplements, the pheromone products Feel Away for cats and Adaptil for dogs, Vectra for parasites, and Halo Purely for pets. Please know that all the support for this show is by invitation only. These are companies we use ourselves and hope you will show your appreciation for their support by becoming their customers also. Now, a bunch of them have special offers. I have a little secret for you tonight. Dr. Sean is away at a vet conference. I have such a treat for you. I have a fabulous guest co-host who's very soon, in only 3 weeks, going to be co-host with me of a whole brand new show called The Expert Vet. But before I introduce you to Dr. Donna Spector, those of you that listen to Cat Chat or to Dog Talk on NPR, you've heard Dr. Donna. She's the official second opinion vet and the official veterinary nutrition advisor of both my other shows. Of course, Cat Chat is now in a grave, but never mind. We are very much alive and well and right here. Here's the things you need to find out by going to RadioPetLady.com. Halo Purely for Pets, which makes the kibble I feed my dogs. And by the way, disclaimer, the food for which Dr. Donna also writes a lot of great answers and information on their blog. They have a special introductory offer for $20. You get can, bag, treats, no shipping charge. Go to RadioPetLady.com. You'll see it right there on the landing page. Necco Flies is giving 10% off through the end of February. They're my favorite cat toy. There's also a very funny contest, which so far only one person entered. So she's going to win a Necco Flies for sure. But it's called, Is Your Cat Weirder Than Bubba? There's a video on my website of the owner of Necco Flies, cat Bubba, who asks to be blow-dried every day. Runs in the bathroom just to wet him down and blow him dry. This is a true fact. He made it up. She didn't. So if your cat is weirder than Bubba, and I do have one person whose cat gets on her donkey and walks around in the field, like takes a ride, she's definitely getting a Necco Flies. But a lot of other people could win them. There's not just one prize. Unlike the Nordic Naturals, Me and My Dog and Me and My Cat, my Facebook page, which those of you who've followed me for a long time know, has been like a desert. I don't go there. I am all over it. It is jammed with pictures of people's dogs and cats. It's a really cool contest. You get a dog Bible or a cat Bible. You get Nordic Naturals for yourself and for your pet and a What's Essential t-shirt, and it's pretty cool. Now, to explain to you about tonight, oh, the number again. We already have some people calling, of course, because you love us and we love you. 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. To explain to you tonight's guest host for the whole 2 hours, Dr. Donna Spector is a board-certified internist. What an internist is sort of often like with human medicine, a detective who looks into situations that maybe other vets can't quite figure out. She helps other vets with this all the time, either in the diagnosis or in the treatment, and gives the second opinion that helps the person and their vet come out with a better result. We're going to have a show called The Expert Vet, myself and Dr. Donna taking those kind of calls. Greg Kleva, also from the Martha Stewart channel, the ex-Martha Stewart channel, is going to join us with It's a Dog's Life on his regular Thursday night. I'm going to have a new show called Pet Food Advisors with a wonderful veterinarian from the University of Tennessee College a veterinary medicine whose specialty is nutrition and supplementation and acupuncture and chiropractic. And the marvelous Arden Moore, those of you might have her books, Why Do Cats Do That? Why Do Dogs Do That? A new show with her called Four-Legged Life. And then there are the dog travel experts from Dog Tipper and Cat Tipper. That means travel with your dog, whether it's a walk in the woods or a trip around the world on an ocean liner. A lot of really cool shows. They're all going to be live. We're going to have apps. So those of you that are now in your car or you're hearing this later and you were in your car and couldn't listen, you're going to be able to do all that because we're going to have apps. And I don't actually know what apps are, but I know that that's how you can listen eventually. Dr. Donna Spector, it is so cool to have you here on the internet. Isn't it so fun?
Thank you so much for having me. Yes, this is going to be a great, very much looking forward to it tonight.
Me too. I already have a whole lot of, I've been saving some emails from people of real brain teaser kind of situations where I see the question and I think something's wrong with this picture. And that's what Donna is brilliant at. Anyone who's listening who has any kind of a medical issue at all with your dogs or cats, this is the time to call up and say, you know, there's been this problem. It never really been fixed. I don't really know what to do about it. I kind of gave up. Or we're in the middle of a crisis. We have an email from Riverside, California with really quite a crisis. And I know that Janina's listening. So hi, darling, in your car. And Donna's going to help you figure that one out. But any question at all, and we love stuff about nutrition, but really anything, 888-627-6008. Before we go ahead with this really brilliant answer of Donna's, she gave me a little heads up. I gave her a heads up. She gave me a heads up. Her answer is like so cool, makes me feel smarter. We're going to take Via on line 3 because she's been holding and we hate to make people wait. Via, welcome to Cat Chat and Dog Talk. It's great to have you here. You're on the air. Hello, Via. Okay.
It's actually Leah.
Leah, I'm so sorry. That's Doug. Doug, Leah, not Via. Okay, here we are. Welcome to the show. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Tracy. I have a question for Donna.
Okay. Go for it.
The question, I have a couple. This isn't a crisis, but I want to know if it could be. I was at the store buying the Fancy Feast approved cans that are on the list on Tracy's website, and I accidentally bought the gravy one, and I gave it to her, but I read the ingredients and included wheat gluten, and it included cornstarch modified. Can those cause problems? Are those bad?
Good question.
Well, certainly, you know, those would be ingredients that we'd probably say, you know, ideally, you know, steering away from wheat and wheat gluten, some of the cornstarch. You know, if it's the gravied sorts of foods, I mean, sometimes they need that to make that gravy sort of content. And I don't know if that was one of the foods that was on the list.
I doubt it. It wasn't on my list, right, Leah? You picked up the one that wasn't on the list.
No, it was an accident.
Yeah,
that's okay. It happens. Right.
You know, exactly. And, you know, if you've got the food, I mean, and you fed it to her, again, I wouldn't be terribly concerned. But, you know, you've got the right list and steering away from some of those gravy products, which will have a higher carb content, and they do tend to have more of the glutens and the cornstarches. You know, so once, you know, feeding once, twice, even a few times, if you didn't realize, is really not going to be much of an issue for most pets. But just, you know, you've got it. You've got your hands on it now. So just the next time, pick up the right stuff.
And the other thing is Donna turned me on to a really great other cat food list called Binky's List. And I'm going to double check and make sure that I have every food on my list that's on Binky's List because new foods come out all the time, like tiki. I didn't have tiki on there, which is a great one made of human ingredients. So I am going to update that list as well, Leah, but I wouldn't worry about it. You said you had another question. Real quick, what's your other question?
Yeah, real quick. My other question is she really likes the cod, sole, and shrimp, and I was wondering, can I feed her that every night or every other night, or is that bad?
Donna, I say three times a week for fish for cats. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that that's good for a number of reasons. One, for the, you know, for the different variation of protein sources, but also a little more green on the environment too, you know, to not be overdoing the fishing. So, you know, I agree from the heavy metal aspect, mercury, you know, some of the other things. So three times a week, I think, is good.
Great. Good questions, Leah. Thank you so much for checking in. It's wonderful to hear from you again. Good night, sweetie. Leah's a new cat mom,
bye-bye.
Donna. And she's, bye, darling. And she's really a wonderful cat mom. She's really worried and she's concerned and she cares. And so we support anyone who asks us 252 questions because that is so much better than not questioning, right?
I mean, absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we're going to try and be disciplined. We got to get to this question about the coughing, but I'm a sucker for a call. So Janine is on line four, and I'm not going to make you wait either. Janine, welcome to Cat Chat and Dog Talk. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well, and I was so happy to get your email.
Which,
I just wanted you to know that I've already scheduled those x-rays.
Yes.
Oh,
okay.
Good.
So this is Janine herself. Oh, my God. This is so cool that I don't have to read your email. Would you tell everyone else who's listening exactly what's going on with your darling little 12-year-old Chihuahua, Roscoe? What's been going on? And then Donna will tell you what she had already written to me, and then I sent on to you because we were so worried about him.
Thank you. I just wanted – he had a dental procedure a couple of weeks ago, and since that time he's been having a hacking, horrible cough. And the doctor thought that perhaps – it was, you know, due to some, he has a heart murmur, and she thought perhaps it was due to some fluid around his heart, so she gave him Lasix. And it hasn't really helped. It's been a very mixed thing. And so, you know, we've been just worried sick because, you know, he's 12 years old, and, you know, he's never been a strong little guy, so...
It's a great question, and I must say that Sean and I a couple of times in the last few weeks have been saying, oh, dental cleanings are fine, dental cleanings are without danger. Donna, talk about what you, as a board-certified internist, would say if you heard about a 12-year-old dog coughing and hacking after a dental cleaning. First of all, what could cause it, and second of all, what should be done diagnostically?
Well, certainly any time a dental procedure is done, a tube, a plastic tube, is placed into the windpipe, also called the trachea, during the anesthetic procedure. And very similar to people, older people even, or any person who undergoes anesthesia, that tube puts pressure into the airway. Mm-hmm. That's what blocks all the fluid and the junk from the dental from getting down into the lungs. But that actually can cause quite a bit of inflammation in the windpipe. And so when a little dog, you know, the tube comes out, that inflammation over the next sometimes, you know, 2, 3, 4 days just gets worse and worse, and it causes coughing. And then every time they cough, it creates more inflammation. And it can become this very vicious cycle of coughing, you know, and it just sounds horrible. Then, you know, and that's probably the most common thing we see is tracheal inflammation, which is different than like kennel cough or infectious tracheitis.
Right.
I mean, this is a very different thing. This is purely inflammation within the trachea. It's far more common in little dogs like Chihuahuas, Poodles, Yorkies, these little dogs who have kind of weak tracheas to start with. Many of those dogs have like collapsing tracheas or the weak tracheas. And so then you pop a tube in their throats during a dental, and it really, those are often the dogs that we see it in. But other things that can happen, you know, the dentals, when they're done, the teeth have a lot of bacteria. And so if a little bit of that bacteria-laden fluid gets down in the lungs, these dogs can actually have low-grade pneumonia. Again, it's not infectious pneumonia from dog to dog. It's just that they got some bacteria from their mouth that they actually inhaled into their lungs, and that can cause ongoing cough. It can, in some instances, if a dog does have low-grade heart issues, you know, the actual procedure of the dental and the stress of the anesthesia and everything. I mean, we can sometimes put dogs into, you know, a low-grade heart failure situation as well. So the first step is always x-rays. You can tell a lot from x-rays. If, you know, heart enlargement, fluid inside the lungs, pneumonia in the lungs, as well as sometimes even inflammation within the trachea. Sometimes we also do a blood count, like a white blood cell count, also with a temperature to determine, you know, could there be a low-grade pneumonia, something like that going on. But x-rays for sure are the first step toward figuring all that out.
So that's a pretty good...
I just wanted to tell you something else that has happened too. You know, she gave us Lasix to give him, and, you know, when I've been giving it to him, he coughs and he fights and all this other stuff, and you know, in the last couple of days, phlegm has come up, and it's, you know, tinged with blood. And I don't know if it's because it's something from his lungs or throat or if I've hurt him in the process of getting a pill in him. That's been scary as well.
Well, if you already have an inflamed trachea, if you already have an inflamed trachea and then you have to put a pill down it, you can imagine that that would be irritating, whether it was to you or to a little chihuahua.
Yeah.
What's curious to me, Donna, and this is not to speak ill of other veterinarians. Everyone does the best they can with the knowledge they have. Why would a doctor prescribe Lasix without actually having a diagnosis? He didn't do a chest x-ray. So why would you just give Lasix? Like, I don't know. It's sort of like what they used to make a joke about human doctors. Take 2 aspirin. Call me in the morning. I mean, no one says that anymore. But isn't it sort of odd to give a medication without a diagnosis?
It is. And I would say, you know, that's the part that I lack is the physical examination. Because if you examine a dog and the heart rate is very fast or very high, you know, combined with a heart murmur and harshness in the lungs, you know, I mean, there are certain cues that you take from your physical examination that may have made certain things more likely and certain things less likely. You know, and that's the part of the history that I don't have. But you know, like you said, everyone does the best they can and with the resources and at the time, you know, that you've got. So that's a hard comment to answer. But, you know, there may have been cues on Roscoe's physical exam that led them that way versus another. But, yes, the x-ray is a much more confirmed, let's figure this out. Let's, you know, really wrap our hands around it.
So that I'm going to be a little less a little less diplomatic than Donna, because I tend to be less diplomatic than almost everybody. Oh, and those of you listening, we have lines open, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Please feel free to call in. You can still listen while you're on hold. I would say, has this vet been Roscoe's vet for the whole 12 years of his life? Is this a vet you have a high confidence in, that you have a lot of respect for, that you really feel an emotional attachment to? Because myself, if I had a dog who was getting worse and the vet had given me something that didn't make a lot of sense, just without us having medical degrees, and sure enough, it didn't help the dog, and then you find out from a board-certified internist who's simply giving an overview like a doctor will from, you know, a snapshot from afar, gee, what about a chest x-ray? And your vet didn't even do that. This is not Donna talking, it's me. I'd say time for a new vet. You must have a high confidence level when you have a senior dog. Chihuahuas are more like children than almost any other breed, with those big eyes, and they're always in your arms, and they're in your bed. They're, you know, it's just not your typical lab where they can sort of like muddle along when they have a problem. You know, Chihuahuas are little and delicate, and I don't know, I would just say, you live in Riverside. If you want to write to me at radiopetlady@gmail.com, I can find you with Dr. Sean's help, with Dr. Elizabeth Hodgkin's help. She had a great clinic of her own in Southern California. Find you a vet that just might be a little more on top of what needs to be done. Donna's also available to anybody. I think it might be a great idea, because at this point, if I were you, my confidence would be kind of like in the gutter, because this is, you know, luckily – he's still fine, but someone needs to do something. And rather than go back to this vet who has, in my opinion, taken some strange stabs in the dark and like totally missed the target, I think it's time to go to a new doctor and say, hi, I'd like to be your patient. I have a problem that has not been resolved. And your old vet has to send, by law, all of your records to the new vet. So feel free to write to me. If you don't have friends that live near you who have a vet that you've heard good things about, whose attitude seems to fit your thoughts, then I'm happy to find you some names of some vets in your area, okay?
Terrific.
Thank you so much for the call, Janine. Really thrilled that you called. Oh, Janine, you're going to win the Precious Cat coupon for the night for Cat Attract Litter. And I do have your mailing address because you sent it to me. Every single show, there's two prizes. One cat caller gets a Cat Attract coupon for a free jug of up to $20 worth of Cat Attract Litter because Precious Cat is one of my website sponsors. And a dog listener is going to get a dog Bible mini leash bookmark. So you are the Precious Cat coupon winner, and that is going to be in the mail to you, my dear.
You mean, okay? I mean, I don't have a cat.
Oh, my God, I'm such a dope. You know, of course you don't, because a Chihuahua is not a breed of cat. It tends to be a breed of dog. You're getting the dog Bible mini leash bookmark, and I'll just straighten out my species for myself. Okay. Jeez.
Thank you so much
for the call. Great to hear from you. Good luck, and we'll find you a vet if we need to. I know, Donna, you always tread very lightly and gently on your colleagues, but in situations like this, it's like kind of, you know, someone's life is hanging in the balance. Ellie was calling, but Ellie's call dropped off, so Ellie, just know that we're here for you, honey, if you want to call back. The number is 888-627-6008. Okay, here's an email that came in that I've been saving for you, Donna. Now, I just want people to know if they've written in and Dr. Sean and I didn't get to answer your email, I'm really sorry, but so many live callers come in and kind of like live people take precedence over emails. But we have a little pause, so I'm going to read this one that I got so that Donna can hear it. This is right up your alley because I know that nutrition and diet and those problems are very much your thing. This one is from Nancy. My 2.5-year-old male German Shepherd has a sensitive stomach and spent the first year and a half of his life with low energy. I've actually never heard of that, a low energy, you know, young German Shepherd. It's like, wow, that is really weird. And loose stool, including accidents around the house. So that's like more than loose stool. That's obviously explosive diarrhea. I mean, if you can't control it, right? We tested his blood and stool for disease and parasites but found nothing of significance. We slowly switched his food from this to that, single protein, but no improvement. After several months, we switched again to a prescription food, which seemed to solve the problems. His stool normalized, his energy level almost doubled. Sure, because I guess he was absorbing some nutrients, right? He wasn't just like leaking them all. I was concerned about the cost as well as the nutritional value of this highly processed food with ingredients that didn't look very nutritional to me. So I switched him very slowly to a simple turkey and potato, which is maintaining his health. She's focusing on nutrition. She wants to stick with what she's been using for 6 months, but wants to know if this is what she should be doing. And he gets 2 cups of dry plus 2 spoonfuls of the same wet food. Do I think this is a good diet? They seem to get the best results when his food and treats are consistent and simple. I would love you to talk to these listeners about EPI because it's so frequent in German Shepherds and has to do with like very serious digestive and absorption issues, right? Absolutely. EPI, for those that are not as knowledgeable there, is it stands for exocrine pancreas insufficiency. And that's a fancy verbiage for, you know, the pancreas helps dogs digest and absorb all of their food. It secretes enzymes that help break down proteins and fats within the food. Those enzymes leave the pancreas, they go into the intestinal tract, and they help break down all the fats, proteins, and then those things get absorbed in through the intestinal tract. German Shepherd dogs are very prone. This is an inherited defect. It is something that's well known and documented in the breed, that they have an insufficient number of enzymes because their pancreas is atrophied. They just are genetically predisposed, not all of them, but many, many of them, many
so
lines.
So you mean you can be 2.5 years old and your pancreas that's supposed to last and be a functioning organ your whole life, like till you're 12 or 13, is already atrophied? It's like giving up?
Yes. Yes, it's a juvenile onset atrophy typically. So it usually does affect dogs, very, very young dogs, all the way up to 4 years old. A lot of times we see the disease onset in the first 4 years of life. And the number one signs are loose stool to explosive diarrhea. It can run the gamut. weight loss. Sometimes these are just German Shepherd dogs that are racks of bones. They walk around and they're just skinny, skinny, skinny. They also many times have voracious appetites because they're starving. Even though they're eating large amounts of food, they're not digesting it properly. And so those are the classic signs, you know, big appetites, can't keep weight on, loose stool to diarrhea. You know, sometimes they will even develop vomiting because once those proteins and fats, they're not breaking down properly, then the intestine has to deal with them. And you have, and that alone can create inflammation within the intestine. So sometimes many of these dogs will vomit as well. So any German Shepherd that's showing signs certainly of any, you know, being too thin, loose stools, et cetera, you know, really, really deserves an evaluation. It's a simple fasted blood test. But it's a very special. It doesn't show up on basic blood work. This is a very specific test that's run.
So this is something that, you know, I've heard over the years so many times on my shows. And until I had you as part of that equation, I actually read a big article about it in the New York Times about people's dogs wasting away. But I heard so many times from people with German Shepherds that the animals couldn't keep weight on and they were just had unbelievable digestion problems. And at some point I started to think just logically, this seems to be a breed problem. It's got to be genetic. It can't just be a few dogs having bad reactions to brands of food that don't agree with them. It must be, and it seems to be maybe even coming out more in purebred German Shepherds, even more of them, because I guess the breeding pool gets smaller and smaller. You get more and more inbreeding as time goes by, possibly.
Right.
But it's obviously anyone who adopts a German Shepherd and has this problem, you're actually, you're adopting a big problem, and then you have to give all kinds of digestive enzymes and pancreatic powders and this is something that I think if you do have a German Shepherd and you've experienced any of these problems, it isn't just, oh, well, I don't mind if he has loose stool, because the dog isn't actually taking in nutrients and is going to get sicker and sicker. You need to actually treat the condition for life, right?
That is correct. It's not something that they regain function. And just another comment is German Shepherds are a breed, again, that we see with a lot of not just pancreatic problems, but true inflammatory bowel conditions, you know, true digestive abnormalities. So even if it's not ends up not being EPI or pancreas problems, you know, most of those dogs require, you know, a lot of those dogs require treatment for other intestinal issues.
Yeah. And it's something that you really do need to have a doctor who understands and understands the test to do and then understands the treatments. And again, write to me at radiopetlady@gmail.com or just go on radiopetlady.com and you'll see the link to Donna. If you want to get a second opinion, if you'd like her to work with your vet, if you have these sort of problems, she works directly with people and their vets. So it's a kind of a triangle. We're going to take a quick break for some of our sponsor messages. When we come back, we'd love to take your call. 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. We'll be right back. This show is brought to you by Halo Holistic Natural Dog and Cat Foods, which are made from real ingredients you can recognize. Read the ingredients on the label of your own dry dog food. Can you identify what's in there? Halo uses no inferior rendered byproducts, meals, or chemicals in any of their products. Halo is purely focused on your pet's well-being. No chicken meal or other rendered meats. Halo foods are guaranteed safe and have never been recalled. Halo's entire line, including treats, supplements, and grooming supplies, will help your pet be vibrant, happy, and healthy inside and out. This show is also brought to you by PetFlow.com, an online store for pet foods and more that is privately owned by pet lovers like you who want to give their dogs and cats the best nutrition possible with the least hassle for themselves. The real value is the auto delivery schedule. For people who go to the same store and have to drag home the same food every month, PetFlow.com is perfect for you. There are over 200 brands, in particular the ones we love on the show, like Halo, Waruva, The Honest Kitchen, Nordic Naturals, Precious Cat Litter, and many more. There is free shipping with a minimum $49 order and no sales tax except New York, New Jersey, and Nevada. The link is on RadioPetLady.com. Support for Dog Talk comes from Precious Cat Litter, which is privately owned by Dr. Elsie, a feline-only veterinarian whose litters are designed to appeal to kitties and protect their health.
cat attract litter has a blend of herbs which entice cats into the litter box and has helped get thousands of cats back into their litter boxes. Precious Cat donates litter to shelters and rescues across the country. Support for Dog Talk also comes from PetFlow.com, which carries all the Precious Cat litters with special offers at RadioPetLady.com. So you're right, Dr. Donna, when you said, oh, State of the Union address is why people aren't calling. Now, guys, you can TiVo the president, but we're here live to answer your questions. I guess I can't interrupt you while you're watching the telly or listening to the radio. I'm TiVoing it, or I guess there isn't even TiVo anymore, is there? I mean, there's however you can record things, we're recording it. But I do understand. I've had these problems before. I've written to my marvelous president. I've said, do you mind? This night is my show night. I mean, how does he not get that? Well, I understand he's got a busy schedule too. Those of you that are listening, 888-627-6008. Don't they go to commercial during the State of the Union? So when they go to commercial, come to us. Okay, so here Leah is back on line three. Leah, darling, it's your night. I think you're going to win the Cat-A-Track coupon. I mean, I know you are, so that goes without saying. Hey, sweetie, welcome back.
Hi. I forgot to ask a question, Tracy. I need help.
Good. We're here, lovey.
What's going on is I'm having a hard time getting Callie to eat a lot of the foods on your list. That's why I called in about the gravy food. That's why I got excited because I thought maybe that would be a better choice. She's not wanting to eat a lot of the chicken and the salmon, and I don't know what to do to get her to eat that.
Well, here's the thing. What I wrote to you was, and I think Donna would concur with this, you have a little cat. She's 8 or 9 pounds. She doesn't need to eat a lot of quantity. 1 teaspoon of a quality canned cat food for some cats is enough. Cats, as long as she looks like she's got energy and she's bouncing around and she has shiny fur, they don't need quantity. They need quality protein. Donna, don't you think that a small amount is fine? Some cats have a small appetite.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I don't know. How big is she? Do you know how big she is?
7 pounds.
Okay. And is she, how old is she?
She's about a year old.
Okay. You know, because a cat of that size, I mean, this is the crazy part. Like a lot of them will take about 150 up to 180 calories a day, and that's all they'll need. And when you look at, you know, like one of those cans of food, you know, those little 3 ounce cans, I mean, sometimes mm-hmm. we're looking at, you know, those can have 200, sometimes 200 calories, and, you know, and like they definitely don't need a whole can of food, and many of them need a fraction of that. But, you know, we do want her to, you know, obviously get something she likes the taste of and, you know, and that she'll gravitate toward. And I don't know, it sounds like are you trying lots and lots of different options right now?
Well, it's the Fancy Feast variety because my grocery stores don't carry the Friskies and the Whiskas and the Nine Lives that are on the list.
Okay.
So I'm stuck with Fancy Feast. But, okay. I mean, I've transitioned her properly and it's just like she's just picky and she turns her nose up at it, so I'm doing something that catinfo.org suggested, and that was to wait, don't go any further than 18 hours.
Right.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely. That's
make
for
her,
sure.
Well, the website said to make her wait, it suggested to wait for her to get hungrier, and when I
right.
did that one time, she still didn't eat it.
Right. And what you can do is if you have found something she does like the taste of, you know, you can feed that to her. And even if it's got some of the, you know, the cod and the sole, I think, and the shrimp was one you said she did like. But, you know, you can feed that. And obviously we said 3 days on the fish. But if you're finding she really likes that, go ahead and feed it. And then gradually, you know, at least you know she's eating that and she's eating it well. And then you could add other things to it. I mean, you could try to sort of sneak out some of that and put a little something else in. You can do some mixing. You know, I mean, cats are pretty selective.
They are.
Well,
some are pickier than others.
The reason I asked was because I wasn't going to tell you, but my veterinarian, he said that he didn't want me feeding her any fish-based canned food because it causes high levels of mercury, and then he said that he didn't want her eating the gravy because the content of the wheat gluten or whatever, he said that causes digestive problems or something?
Well, here's the thing, Leah. You're a very nervous new mom. Donna has a new human kid. So she knows what it's like. She's not a nervous kind of mom. But we totally appreciate people that are nervous moms. And they kind of hover a lot and they worry a lot. You have a vet who isn't making it any easier for you. You know, you really need a vet who is more like Donna, who says, you know, whatever works is fine. Like if you had a human kid. If they only want to eat one thing and they want to eat at a weird time of the day, it's okay. It's food. It's all right. So she's certainly not going to be harmed. There's no heavy metals in seafood like shrimp and calamari. They don't have any heavy metal. It's large-bodied tuna and giant fish that have the heavy metal in them. Right now, you just need to feel more relaxed and comfortable that she's eating a little bit once or twice a day. So it's fine to and maybe you could go a little further than that one grocery store. That can't be the only grocery store near you. And from my list, pick some of the other supermarket flavors of those foods and see if you can find one. If he's going to get that heavy with you about it, the vet, then I really think you need to be with a vet who can just put you at ease. On the other hand, your vet might feel that you're so nervous that, you know, he doesn't quite know how to handle your emotions about it. So it's hard to say, you know, because I know that you've called in a bunch of times, you've written me a bunch of times, and I keep saying, calm down, it's okay. But I respect how much you care and that you want to do right by her. So you just
I think your vet is making, you know, it's not that they're making good suggestions. They want you to eat the healthiest food possible. Yes. So I think that's the overarching thing is they are making the right recommendations, you know, limiting the fish.
Yes.
But it is important, as Tracy's just said, to allow her, you know, she's new and in your environment, you got to just ease her into it, you know, keep her eating and then look at the big picture here that we can try to introduce new things slowly. At least she's still eating something, you know, are we saying that she should eat that every single day for every single meal for her whole life? No, I think all of us, including your vet, are on that same page, but it is important that she does continue to eat while you maybe find some other options. And, you know, so it's hard when you're staring at her at your house, not really eating very well, you know, your vet can say as much as they want, but the fact is you still have to get some nutrition into her and feel good about it and still work toward that goal of finding other options for her that, you know, aren't so fish heavy.
Very well said. Leah, did you get your whole life pet treats, the freeze-dried protein treats yet?
No.
Okay, so you need to write to me, you know my email address, and send me your mailing address because you can crumble up some of those or even just feed her some of those. They're pure protein. They're human grade. You can just have her eat those for a while, you know? All right? So, and make sure you send your mailing address because you're going to get the Precious Cat Attract coupon. So at least you'll have a nice big jug of a free, excellent quality, healthy litter as well. All right, darling, you just take a deep breath. You and that cat both need a glass of wine. Thank you for calling back in and send me your mailing address, okay? We have Jennifer on line 4. Jennifer, welcome to Cat Chat and Dog Talk. What could we help you with?
Hey, Jennifer, how are you doing?
Good. What's your question?
About incontinence. I was saying,
hang on one sec. Jennifer, we have a really bad line. I don't know if Doug can fix it up, but it's a horrible connection. Are you calling from a cell phone with a bad signal?
No, it's my landline, and I got the radio turned off.
It's your landline.
Land.
Okay, I tell you what, Doug is going to call you back. So if you hang up, Doug, our engineer, can call you back because there was just something funky about that line. While we wait for Jennifer to call back, because I totally want to talk to her, obviously, especially because everybody else is watching the president instead of us, which does hurt my feelings. Dennis in California wrote an email, Donna. He said, I need more vaccination information. This is something that everyone is always so interested in. He's going to get a puppy, a blue cattle dog from a well-known breeder. For vaccination, do I just use a core regimen of rabies, distemper, parvovirus, at 8, 12, and 16 weeks once, and then no more, just a one-time vaccination? He said, I heard that vaccinations are harmful because of the doses, and he's been researching online at the American Animal Hospital Association and so forth and so on. I mean, most puppies, as I understand it, can have that bunched vaccination, right, with all of them in one. There are some breeds or tiny, tiny dogs where you, like the Weimaraners that I have, you're supposed to separate them into separate vaccinations. Is that right, or is that a misunderstanding on my part?
No, absolutely. I mean, little tiny dogs or dogs that haven't, you know, known some known issues, you know, we can separate out and not give the big slugs of vaccines all at a time for sure. But most puppies, I mean, the great majority of puppies will go through their core vaccine series, you know, with really no problem. I mean, that would be the majority. There are always going to be some, you know, some outstanders who have some reactions. But in general, the core puppy series will be well tolerated.
Now, he also said, do it once and no more, a one-time vaccination. It was a strange question. The reason I'm concerned about it is I need people to hear from me and from you. You must do the full series of vaccinations for puppies. Every single one of these ingredients, if you will, the distemper and the parvo, they're not foolproof. They're not 100% immunity. I had a Bedlington Terrier puppy that I got as a teenager who came from a very good breeder, and he got distemper. Now, that was with, you know, the booster as well. They aren't even 100% protection if you do the full series. There are some people making what I believe to be a big dangerous mistake, which is not completing the series of vaccinations. I imagine that you would agree with that?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, as far as just getting one vaccine, you might as well not get any if you're not going to do at least two. Because what happens, the first vaccine does what we call prime the immune system. So when you get, when you take a puppy with no, you know, I mean, they get some immunity from their mothers, obviously, but the first vaccine they get primes the immune system, which means the cells of the immune system, which are all the like lymphocytes that float around in our bodies, they get primed up. They're active now. The second vaccine actually helps them start creating antibodies to the actual disease. So a one vaccine is just not going to be sufficient enough for adequate protection for sure. Two vaccines is certainly would be better than, you know, than one or one.
Right.
But also there's that timing factor that goes into it that becomes important, the 8, 12, and 16. I do agree with it's a good schedule. If you've got someone who's really anti-vaccine and they're really concerned and they're only going to give one or two, you want to do it closer to 12 to 16 weeks then, because the maternal antibody, which is what they get from their mothers, will have decreased enough that their own immune system is standing on its own two legs. But again, that's not my recommendation. My recommendation is to go through the vaccine series for a puppy, the 8, 12, 16. And then I'll be honest, even the year booster, the one-time year booster.
Yeah.
Now, after that, I'm all about let's not over-vaccinate.
Right.
I think we can do titers, which are checking the bloodstream for adequate levels of antibody. I think in general, we are still over-vaccinating dogs and cats in this country.
Yes.
And I think definitely we know many vaccines last for 3 years, many for five, even up to 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the revaccination frequency is far too frequent, but that first series is really important, as is that first booster. And then after that, I think we have a lot more, flexibility.
And titer testing is how you do it. And there are some great companies that are even interested in being sponsors of this show, because all of us want to sort of lean towards holistic. We don't want to overdo it, but we want the protection for everybody.
And there are even in veterinarians who know about titer testing and use it properly. If you have a client, a pet owner who's very concerned about vaccines, you can, you know, have that dog come in at 12 weeks and give a vaccine and then work in titer testing to say, okay, he's not protected yet or he is protected, and really use those titers to help minimize the number of vaccines for an individual dog. You know, we have to make broad recommendations for the masses, but if you have a very, you know, if you have a very skilled veterinarian who knows how to use those tests, you can take your puppy in and say, I want to keep my vaccines to a minimum. Help me with these titer tests. How do we, you know, confirm protection and give the fewest vaccines possible? And your vet should be able to do that. Or, you know, they can call me and I can help them.
I mean, if they don't know how to figure that out, just because this isn't their training, then it's really okay to say to your vet, could I have another vet that, you know, is a second opinion work with you and kind of hold all, both of our hands during this, because I want you to continue to be my vet, but I want to minimize the amount of vaccinations. That's a really great answer. So Dennis by now may have gotten his blue cattle dog adorable puppy, but the dog needs vaccination. And being a cattle dog, he's probably going to be out doing a million things with him, like I hope agility and cool stuff, all the more reason. Because if anybody out there hasn't vaccinated, it puts the whole population at risk. And even in our lifetimes, there were puppies, and to this day, dropping like flies, dying of these horrible deaths, which most of us haven't seen in the more affluent areas, in the more educated areas. The vaccination has eliminated the diseases, but in the South and in poorer areas with a lot of, you know, like loose dogs and not spayed and neutered dogs, these diseases are still out there. And these dogs are being brought to the Northeast and to the East Coast all the time for adoption. And a lot of them are bringing disease with them. So you need the vaccination. We're going to get right back with Jennifer after we take our next break. And we're looking forward to hearing you a little bit better. So hang on, sweetie. We'll be right back after this break. The number for the rest of you is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. We'll be right back. This show is also supported by Halo, a small private company owned in part by Ellen DeGeneres, where they genuinely are dedicated to pet health. The company emphasizes giving back by making impressive charitable donations through freekibble.com to shelters and rescues, because they believe that less fortunate felines and canines deserve great nutrition too. You are what you eat is true for animals as well as for us, which is why Halo is the only kibble I feed my own dogs. Halo uses real meat in their kibble, no scary mystery ingredients that are permitted in rendered kibble. There are even shreds of real vegetables along with the dry nuggets. It's why I'd love you to try Halo too. The good folks at PetFlow.com have found a way to surprise you and your pets every month with their Spoiled Rotten Club. There's a separate Spoiled Rotten box for cats and dogs, and each is filled with treats, toys, and accessories you may have never seen before. And all the edible products are made in the USA. It costs only $24.99, which is less than the actual cost of all the amazing goodies in the box. And shipping is free. It makes a great gift that keeps on giving, especially if you're the grandparent of fur kids, because everybody knows grandparents spoil the grandchildren. Go to RadioPetLady.com for the link from PetFlow.com right to the Spoiled Rotten Club. Support for Dog Talk comes from Precious Cat Litter, which is privately owned by Dr. Elsie, a feline-only veterinarian whose litters are designed to appeal to kitties and protect their health. Respiratory relief litter is low dust for pussycats with asthma, which makes it healthy for people and other pets in the family, too. Precious Cat donates litter to shelters and rescues across the country. Support for Dog Talk also comes from PetFlow.com, which carries all the Precious Cat litters with special offers at RadioPetLady.com. I'm so glad we had that sponsor message from the Spoiled Rotten Club, because they're doing an even more excellent discount, which is only $15 instead of $25. So it's $10 off and no shipping charge. You got to go to RadioPetLady.com and see what the code is, because I don't even actually know it by heart. But it's only for the month of February, so please take advantage. There are really groovy things in those boxes. Okay, Jennifer, we're back with you, honey. Welcome back to Cat Chat and Dog Talk. Tell us your question.
Well, good. Does this sound better?
Oh, my God. Beautiful. And you have a gorgeous Southern accent. So what more could we want?
Oh, my. Well, I was going to say the reason I think that people aren't calling in, if they're not, I just got online, is that Westminster Dog Show is on.
Oh, my God. You're even smarter than we are. We think it's about politics. It's about the dog show.
No.
It is the dog show.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God. Did anybody really cool win yet?
Well, I just now watch this. Whoop.
I'm the winner in this family.
That's my dog. The sporting one was at the rough coat, not the rough coat. What do you call it? German short hair pointer, the rough coat.
Oh,
one,
nice.
Not the smooth coat, but he got.
Oh, the wire hair. The wire hair.
Wire
really?
Hair.
Oh, wow. They're very cool.
And then they're getting ready to do non-sporting, which is my type of dog, which is Dalmatians, which I have a female, and I talked to you last week about the itching, and I'm waiting on my doggy goo to come.
Oh, goody. It isn't there yet?
No, and we're still just itching and licking and itching and licking.
Oh,
and
man.
Her little bottom back there, her little vulva, whatever you call that thing,
yes.
Is red, and I'm just.
That's exactly what happened to Scooby-Doo. He licked his. Donna, just close your ears. She's heard this before. He licked his anus. Apparently, when you have these allergies, the genital area is an area that becomes more itchy than other parts of you.
Oh.
He licked his anus until it was bleeding, and I was convinced he had cancer. I really was convinced.
Mm.
And I'm just hoping the doggy goo comes, and I'm hoping that she licks it up. And if she hasn't had it for a long time, like only some weeks as opposed to many months.
She's had it a long time. She's had the same thing, and it comes and
goes. It may take longer for the doggy goo to have an effect because it's all holistic. It's all these holistic things that the veterinary dermatologist put in there. The longer you've had any allergy, the longer it is to calm it down. But you should throw a bunch of fish oil in her, a lots of fish oil, because it's a real anti-inflammatory.
Okay.
It really
will
helps.
It get worse before it gets better? So many of the things I've tried, it will say, she will get worse before she gets better. And then I'm thinking, oh, no.
Well, I've never heard that. That's a funny one.
Okay.
I mean, no, I haven't heard that, but I don't – let's see. I mean, for me, it took 5 days. Five days.
Wow.
Yeah,
well,
it was kind of awesome because the dog was driving me insane. We had like one of those Elizabethan collars on him and spray on him, and you know, it's horrible when a dog is itching and licking like that. Everyone's miserable.
And she's also she's incontinent, and I did have her on the Proin, and then I was trying to get her off the Proin because it was I thought raising her blood pressure a little bit, because at night I could feel her heart just beating very fast, and so we would get on the corn silk and the different kind of pumpkin seed, and she'd get better, and then she'd start back again. And then, so I was
wondering. Well, this is a great question for Donna.
What she thought about that.
Yeah, incontinence is a big problem. My golden retriever was incontinent. They say, Donna, right, that spayed females, by the time they reach around 5 or 6, can start to leak wee-wee, right?
It is an estrogen. Related incontinence, the sphincter that holds everything in the bladder is controlled by estrogen. So the longer a dog is without her estrogen because she's spayed, it happens. And now Proin has been a nice medication for us because it does tighten up that sphincter, and it's not an estrogen compound. But there is a brand new estrogen out for dogs. It's actually approved. It's called Incurin. Incurin, Incurin,
okay.
And it's new. It's just come out in the last few months, and it is an estrogen supplement. And again, you know, we used to use the human products of estrogen for these dogs, but they would sometimes have like anemia and have some significant side effects, or these big swollen vulvas, like they were going into heat. This is a little bit better. It's a better situation, and some dogs will really have a nice response to this estrogen supplement, and it avoids the problems with high blood pressure that we see with Proin and some of those. So it might be something to talk to your vet about, a low dose Incurin for estrogen incontinence.
Okay.
That would be great, Jen.
Incurin.
That's awesome, Donna. See, this is why we like having the big brains on board.
Well, I couldn't tell if the itching is from the urine and she's licked
Times it will be because the urine, she's kind of constantly leaking. So it's like a urine scald. It's like a baby with a diaper, a lot of diaper all the time. So it actually is probably not doing her little vulva any favors. So I would say definitely try to get that, taken care of.
That's great advice.
Do you have any kind of a salve or any kind of I've been putting calendula on it, but I don't think it's really helping. It probably feels good at first, but any kind of something I can put on it in the meantime or just to.
What about the stuff we use for diaper rush, Donna? Well, then she's going to lick it off unless you put a collar on her.
Yeah, she's going to lick it off, and a lot of those things have like aluminum hydroxide or zinc.
Right.
So we don't want to do that. You can even use a little bit of Aquaphor, which is a water-based, we use it in people and babies and for your dry, itchy spots, but it's a nice protection. And as opposed to Vaseline, which is an oil base. This is Aquaphor is a water base. So if she does ingest it, it won't hurt her. But probably the biggest components are drying up the urine that's kind of bathing that area all the time. And then the fish oils, I think, are a very good idea to help with the low grade inflammation. But getting the incontinence under control will really probably help.
Yeah.
Well, how much fish oil should she have with each.
Well, the nice thing that I like about Nordic Naturals is that it is dosed according to the dog's weight. And it's a really big deal. I've had some wonderful vets who specialize in supplementation. A guy from the University of Tennessee that actually works with Donna Radatic, who will sometimes come on Pet Food Advisors because we'll talk about supplements a lot. And he was talking at the New England Holistic Veterinary Medical Association meeting, because one of the vets who went there was my dog's acupuncturist. And he said that most vets are giving people half the supplement that they should for the dogs. That's what I was doing, because, you know, this is how much of a dope we all are. I thought it's sort of like the vaccination diet. I thought, well, I mean, my dogs are basically fine in various ways, which they're not. They're riddled with arthritis. So I thought, well, some fish oil's good. Yeah. I mean, it's expensive. What Joe Barter said is, if you don't give the full amount, you might as well give nothing. The cells absolutely need the full amount based on weight. So every capsule is for 20 pounds of body weight. So I have to give each dog in my family 5 capsules a day. They're each 100 pounds.
Wow.
And I have to say that since I went to the full dose, and they're not allowed to call it dose because there's some law about supplements, it's called the full serving. Once you give the full serving, the dogs completely stop shedding, completely, 100%. It was wild. Before,
is there a Nordic Natural just for dogs, or do I get the one for people?
No, there's a Nordic. Why don't you join the Me and My Dog contest on my Facebook page? Or just write to me at radiopetlady@gmail.com.
Okay.
Send me a picture of your Dal, and you can enter the Me and My Dog contest.
Oh.
And people win a dog Bible and there's a product just for dogs. It's called Omega Pet. And you can get it from petflow.com, which is a dandy place to get it because it's free shipping, which I always think is great.
Right.
And get you know, the biggest jar, the biggest bottles you can, and just get a lot. So that's what I do. I buy like 5 bottles at a time, so I never feel chintzy. I feel like I always have a lot, so I give them the full amount. I mean, I don't know. Otherwise, I'm sort of tempted to give them not enough. And he said it's pointless, that that every single cell in your body needs it that badly.
I think that's what I've been giving under because I had read you can overdo omega-3s.
You can't, though. You can't. Not if it's good quality, he said. Not if it's good quality, because it's very filtered and clean and what have you. Well, it's really great to hear from you.
Can I ask her one more question, or you, either one, what you think about raw food, like as far as chicken necks and wings and backs and...
Well, I know what I think. I don't know what Donna thinks. I'm no fan of the whole concept. I mean, I totally get that there are people that are fanatically in love with it. I just don't think that the chicken that's in the human supermarket that's sold to people was ever intended to be eaten raw. And it's full of salmonella. You know, what is ground up and made in bricks for dogs and cats, that food is actually tested and is safe. It's frozen and you cut it into chunks and you feed it. But putting down chicken parts on your kitchen floor or your pantry or whatever it is, I don't know, Donna. It tends to be something I don't talk about a lot because most people don't want to go that way. And the people who are going that way feel really strongly about it.
Do you like the frozen, like Nature's Variety or cheese?
Yeah, and Bravo.
In together.
Yeah, it's mixed in, and those foods, from what I understand, are tested like every 24 minutes because the FDA and the whatever DA is more uptight about those than about the human food chain. I mean, they don't test the food we eat half enough.
It's supposed to be organic and, you know.
Well, yeah. I mean, right, Donna? I mean, those frozen ones, the Omas Pride and Bravo and the companies that are still brave enough to do it, they're under so much pressure. They're under a microscope. They're almost like waiting for them to trip on their shoelaces.
Yep.
So that food is pretty darn clean. But then again, when you handle it in your home, you have to be vigilant. Mm-hmm. Just like you are when you prepare chicken for your family on the counter. You know, like use a Clorox wipe, right? And really wash your hands and all that kind of thing.
Right.
Correct.
But you know, it's great to serve whatever high quality food you want, whatever choice you make, but it's not going to really change the incontinence issue.
Or the itching,
because those things are, if she's itching elsewhere in her body and not just in her vulva, are environmental allergies like people have. Dust, mites, pollen. Dogs are generally not allergic to food. They're allergic to things in the environment.
Okay.
And they're real allergies, and there is a way to calm them down.
Oh, she sneezes, she rubs her eyes. It's just like
there
a
you go. You're going to be amazed. I mean, I am begging you to call back a week or 10 days later and tell me what. And I don't think it'll get worse before it gets better. That's sort of weird. Thank you so much for calling in. I've already given away my dog Bible mini leash, but if you call in next week, you could be the one who gets it next week.
Think
of another question for next week. Thank you for calling in.
I'm sure I do.
I'll go
back to
the dog show and see how the Dalmatians are doing.
I am. I hope they win. They never
Terrific.
Win.
Terrific. Me too. Me too.
Bye-bye.
They should. Bye, darling. Thanks for the call. All right, we're going to go to another break. When we come back, I have an email for Donna about chicken jerky treats. Some guy who a store owner said to him, oh, chicken jerky from China, no problem. We check it out here in America. And it's not the truth. And Donna's going to tell you how toxic this stuff is. We will be right back after this break. This show is also brought to you by Whole Life Pet, a family-owned and run company that makes small batches of treats by hand in their state-of-the-art freeze-drying machines at their location in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, using one pure protein, poultry, meat, fish, and cheese. All their products are sourced, produced, and packaged in the United States, assuring quality and safety along with support for the American economy. Send your mailing address to radiopetlady@gmail.com for a free box of Whole Life Pet samples. Support for the show comes from Waruva, a family-owned company that makes canned food for cats and little dogs in a facility that makes people food, which means the ingredients are good enough for us to eat. They use smaller-bodied fish in their recipes for optimal health for your pets. All the varieties of Waruva and their more economical BFF, Best Feline Friend brand, are available at PetFlow.com, which is also a supporter of this program, with special offers at RadioPetLady.com. Dr. Sean's online store at PetCareNaturally.com offers feel-away for cats and adaptable diffusers and collars for dogs, along with many of the supplements he uses in his own practice of integrative holistic medicine. He has developed a number of healthy products like itch relief shampoo, all-natural herbal earwash, olive leaf plus, and CI support, supplements to support the immune system for pets with cancers. Go to RadioPetLady.com to get the 10% off code and monthly specials for Dr. Sean's store at PetCareNaturally.com. Okay, those of you who are not watching the non-sporting breed or whatever comes next, I must say this does prove that the people that listen to the show obviously love pets and they're watching the dog show, so they're allowed. The number is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Donna, this is a topic near and dear to your heart and to mine because so many animals have become incredibly ill to the point of death, and we don't really have statistics on it, from eating the dried chicken breast tenders, the chicken jerky that was being sold all across America and has been pulled out of every good quality store that I know of. Roy in Seattle wrote in and said, I can only find dried chicken tenders made in China. Well, that's the only place they come from, Roy, because the Chinese had to get rid of them somehow. I've spoken with the owners of Mud Bay, my pet supply store, and this is the thing that really bugs me, Donna. And they assure me the strips are continually U.S. lab tested, and I should not worry. Oh, yes, you should worry, Roy in Seattle, and Mud Bay store, pox on you. That is absolutely baloney. Talk about the toxicity of this chicken jerky and the ludicrous claim that anyone in the United States sends this chicken jerky to a lab, because if they do, it will test as toxic, right?
No, and that's the problem. So what's happening, and the FDA is actually, they are pretty on top of it.
They are using,
you know, toxicologists, microbial, they are testing these treats as extensively as they can. They're trying to look at it from toxic angles, from heavy metals, from antibiotics, from this, from that. And the problem is, we know that they are making dogs sick, and they can't find what's wrong with them.
Yes.
And that is the most scary and frustrating thing. There are now thoughts that it is probably excess antibiotic residues.
Yes.
There is some antibiotic issue. But you know, all these tests are coming up as normal. They're fine. I mean, and the scariest thing is people, you know, who previously have pulled things off the shelves, they are now putting them back on the shelves because they're saying, you know, we're doing all this testing, we're not finding anything, you know, and so they're losing revenue and no one's. So we are finding more and more of these treats are back out in circulation. And whether they say made in China on the package, some of the U.S. companies, get their treats from China and they're putting them in their original packaging and out they go. And if I'm telling people, and this is something I'm hearing every day because I work on a consult line where veterinarians call me directly for yes. input on cases. And every single day we are hearing about toxicity still. Every day I talk wow. to at least one, if not five people wow. about a dog that came in and these are the weird kidney, you know, I'm looking at wow. the blood work and I'm looking at the kidney, the urine test. And I'm like, ask these people if they're feeding. And it's not just chicken jerky. It's chicken jerky, duck jerky, sweet potato, dry sweet potato treats. If you're feeding your pet any sort of dried treat product, just stop. Stop. Because we don't know what's in them. We're thinking it could be antibiotic, but it is causing kidney failure. It's causing kidney damage. It's wow. causing vomiting, diarrhea, digestive upset. You know, it is a huge problem. These treats are toxic and we don't yet know what it is. It's not from the FDA lackadaisically not trying to figure it right. out. I mean, we're just unable to find it.
But if you remember, and I just will say one thing about Whole Life Pet Treats, because I have physically been to their little manufacturing plant
right.
in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. The fish, venison, beef, chicken, chicken liver, cod, salmon, I'm leaving out some of them. It all comes pre-cooked. It is all from the human food supply chain. It
right.
could as easily go to a restaurant or to a
right.
fast food something or another, and they freeze dry all of it in hand
right.
batches. And every single batch, which is only like 7 trays worth, they send a baggie of it to a real testing place. Even though it's made for humans and it's lightly
right.
cooked before freeze dried, they don't let anything leave their plant until each batch, which is only – I don't like 7 trays of this stuff I saw with my own eyes
right.
has been tested. So if it came from America, if it says sourced in America, grown in America, cooked in America,
right.
freeze-dried in America, that's another story. But
right.
if we think back to the food, the pet food recall,
right.
it was one of the first times that everybody had the wake-up call, whoa, a lot of pet foods are made in big factories that make all the pet food in one factory. Remember, they didn't know what it was in the beginning. They said
right.
it's melamine. Well,
right.
that was before they thought it was wheat gluten or after. And melamine is a plastic product or plastic synthetic something that you can make a plastic bowl out of. And in the end, that after all the testing they did, you know, it's sort of like, I don't know, athletes that took all these performance-enhancing
right.
things. They didn't know how to test for them. There was no test for it.
Right.
Racehorses are given all kinds of things that don't show up in their urine and their blood work. But they've been
mm-hmm.
given bad things that make them
right.
drop dead or run faster.
Right.
It's the same thing. Just because they don't have a test that says, aha, that's what it is, the animals are getting sick. The
right.
other thing that's amazing, Donna, and it really is worth people downloading, there was one of my dog talk shows, my NPR show, all of which is at RadioPetLady.com. In a library, when I interviewed Tony Corbo, who was the press representative for Food and Water Watch, that is a lobbying organization in Washington, D.C., that watches the food and water supply for the whole world. I mean, it's what they're interested in, is the cleanliness of water and the cleanliness of the food supply. And the story of how chicken jerky came to this country as a pet treat is fascinating. It goes back to the Bush administration and some deal that was supposed to have been made between the poultry growers in America who were going to somehow ship their poultry, once killed, to China to be processed and then send it back to America to be used in various ways. and that deal fell through because whatever was done to it when it was processed in China was not acceptable for human consumption. Well, what is the main way that humans, especially in fast food, consume chicken in America? It's the breast meat. Sometimes it's ground up and made into McNuggets and patties or what have you. But they had this massive amount of chicken that had found its way to China to be processed. And now they wouldn't let it in here for humans
mm-hmm.
to eat. They're like, no problem. I always wondered, kind of expensive, you know, like chicken tender breast meat. Why would that be what you'd make a pet treat out of? Because it wasn't safe for people to eat it, and they already
right.
had all of it.
Right.
And there weren't the rules about bringing it in as a pet treat, and it was only once all these animals began to get
uh-huh.
sick. And so you know, so I guess that this store called Mud Bay in Seattle that said, oh, they're lab tested. Well, I think you've just explained it. Yes, some of these treats that were making dogs very sick were sent to labs in the U.S. to be tested, and they couldn't figure out what was wrong with them except for the dogs were sick. So just because they got tested doesn't mean they passed the test. It means they don't have the test that's sensitive enough to pick up what was done to this food in China.
Right.
It's like, you know, the Chinese had no compunction about adulterating baby formula.
I know, right?
Hundreds of Chinese babies died. Tainted formula. They don't care whether it's our pets or their own human babies. It's a lawless place where food production's concerned. Lawless. Terrible, terrible abuses go on in back alleys and in huge factories. And, you know, from one minute to the next, they can kill somebody and say, well, we'll kill this person because they did the wrong thing. But five minutes later, another factory springs up.
The most alarming thing is that obviously, just like you've said, the U.S. has not approved Chinese chicken for humans yet, but they're working with China to lift that ban, according to the Wall Street Journal, even today. Yikes.
Yeah. Yeah. That because you know what? There's a lobby, and the lobby I don't think the American chicken industry, because we can consume all of our own chicken, I'll betcha. I don't think we have chicken that we need to throw away like, you know, back in the day when they had to like pour milk down the drain or something. I think it has to do with some trade issue with China. Like,
yeah, exactly.
My husband's sworn on finance, your husband's sworn on finance. It's something to do with that trade deficit where China kind of owns half of America because they got all of our bad debt or something. So we're like, okay, we'll take your crappy chicken, okay? And then will you like, you know, lend us some more money? This is something to do. It's nothing to do with food. It has something to do with the, you know, a big economic picture.
Yes.
And somehow chicken and the dogs that are consuming it winds up in the middle. So you can't feed chicken jerky or duck jerky made in China to your animals. That's all. You just can't. There's no safety, you know? So that's sort of that story. We have Jessica calling in on line 3. Jessica, welcome to Cat Chat and Dog Talk. I just want to explain to Donna who you are. Jessica is a biochemist who had to move to Richmond, Virginia, and one of her dogs had humongous separation anxiety. So she used an anxiety wrap and an Adaptil collar and some behavior modification, and it really helped. But she also works at a lab that does lipid testing. Am I right, Jessica? Did I say that right?
Yeah. It tests for many things, but specifically omega-3 fatty acids are something we like to look at a lot.
In humans?
In humans, yeah, sorry. It's a human medical testing facility, but it kind of calls attention to that fact, and I think especially, you know, you think about that, you realize how important it is for our pets and our family members and us to all kind of be aware of it.
And something I don't think that most – I didn't become aware of the need for omega-3 fatty acid until I really was aware of it for the dogs. I didn't take it. And now I take it. And by the way, I take the full dose because I was
full serving.
The full serving. Thank you for correcting me because it's not a dose because it's not a medicine. But I was taking half as much. And I didn't know you could test people. I thought people only got tested for cholesterol. But it turns out they test you for these good lipids too, right, Jessica? And you have to, you know, keep those good levels up as well as keep the bad levels down of other things.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's pretty much what we look at because it pretty much directly correlates. You know, you see how many omega-3s you have, or, you know, percentage-wise versus omega-6s and 9s. And it can tell you pro versus anti-inflammatory things that are going on inside your body. And
Jessica, I'm so glad you called. Yeah. Can we set up to send you canine and feline samples?
Ooh.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, my goodness.
Really?
Okay.
Oh, my God. How cool I never thought of
Tracy, that. Tracy, send me her information. I want more information.
Oh, my God. And I want to test my own blood level. If I'm taking these gigantic capsules, I hope it's doing me good. I will totally hook you two up. That would be so great. Yeah, because especially dogs that have, you know, a lot of arthritic changes and have a lot of pain, wouldn't it be great to know, well, my God, their omega-3 level is so low. Jessica, you may not have called to hook up your lab with my fabulous internist. You probably have a question, maybe. I don't know. Do you?
I did, yes, and we'll definitely have to talk more about that. I'm sure some people in the big offices upstairs would be interested in all of that.
Yeah,
I actually, so kind of going off of what your conversation was, you know, with the chicken jerky treats and everything, I had an interesting conversation with my vet the other day when I took my dog to get his wellness exam. When he asked me what food I feed them, which, you know, you look outside and there's mile high bags of Science Diet out. I really was wondering why he was asking me this. And I told him what it was, and it happens to be a very high-protein dog food. And I had small dogs. Two of them are under 25 pounds, and he all of a sudden got very concerned about their kidneys and said, you know, well, small dogs, you know, they're really not meant to handle that much protein. And he wanted to test their blood, which was covered by my pet insurance. So I said, fine, whatever. And, of course, their kidneys came back completely healthy. And they've been on this food for, you know, quite a while now. But what I was going to ask is why would he be concerned with the kidney levels? With, you know, it's a very high quality food and it's about 38% protein. And I kind of did a little research and I know that, you know, nitrogen is kind of a byproduct of, you know, protein metabolism, and so they were saying that it could cause inflammation in the kidneys and, you know, could potentially cause a high overall body temperature. And so I was going to kind of see what your take on that was and if there's any
I'd love to hear Donna's answer for this, because I'll tell you that the advice and information that came out of veterinary school and out of research done by Mark Morris Sr., who was the founder of Hill's back in the day, which is three generations ago, was a misunderstanding, as it's now believed in research, that the problem – this is for animals that had already had kidney problems, failure, insufficiency – was they mistakenly thought the problem was the protein when it was really the phosphorus.
Right.
And yes, meat has – phosphorus, but you can test and see if that's the case in an individual animal. And right. As I understand it, if that were the case, there's a phosphorus binder, Dr. Elizabeth Hodgkin says, you put in the food. But he's talking about healthy small dogs. So Donna,
right.
What is up with the protein issue? It's gotten in the human world, the higher protein in your diet, the more healthy it's supposed to be. And right. Somehow in the pet world, they're kind of like dissing protein.
Right.
Why is that?
I don't know. I don't know. It just doesn't make sense, no, this whole protein story.
Yes.
And, you know, and I go back. I mean, I sat through my nutrition classes in veterinary school. I learned what everybody learned. And, you know, it either makes sense to you or you just say that's my mantra and I go on. Or you say, what? That really doesn't make sense. That's just that's just drinking the Kool-Aid, you know. And
yes.
And you have to remember the pet food industry was created on the leftovers of the human food industry. So big pet food says this is what's good. This is what goes into pet food. This is, you know, it should only have, you know, 21 or 25% protein, and because that's what was available.
Yes.
Is that what they should be eating? No, not necessarily. High-carb diets, if you look at that, I mean, high-carb diets can cause maldigestion, bloating, gas, flatulence. I mean, that's not good either.
And obesity.
Right. And, you know, so I think you just have to, you know, take it and say, okay, you know, this is, you know, maybe that's – they don't have maybe a huge – nutrition interest, and you know, and it is a higher protein food than what they're used to hearing about. But you know, and you've done your blood work, you know that your dogs don't have, you know, kidney issues at this time. But you know, it doesn't make sense to me. It's just like I feed my pets. I like to feed my pets the way I feed myself. I'm all about, keeping my carbs limited. I'm higher protein. I'm lots of veggies. I'm lots of, you know, I mean, what makes sense, you know, what makes sense to you. And that's what makes sense to me for my pets as well. And, you know, now obviously if there is kidney disease and there are other things, yes, phosphorus we know is the important component. It actually can cause progression of kidney disease, high phosphorus. The most common place the most common source of phosphorus is proteins. So that's why low protein diets, because they are by definition low phosphorus diets. But, you know, in healthy kidney dogs with healthy kidney function, you know, you're not accelerating potential kidney damage by feeding them protein.
You're probably keeping them a lot leaner and healthier. Yeah. And by the way, in terms of the phosphorus issue, if you have anyone listening has a dog or a cat that does have kidney problems, it doesn't mean you should feed low protein. In fact, what it means, if you read Dr. Hodgkin's book, Your Cat, or my book, The Cat Bible, which is just, you know, amalgamation of research, they need more quality protein.
Right.
It's a high quality protein they need. And then you have to check their urine or their blood that you check for the phosphorus, Donna?
Blood.
Their blood. So you check their blood work, which with an aging animal with kidney problems, you're going to be doing that frequently anyway. And if the phosphorus is high, you could put a phosphorus binder in the food. It's cheap and easy and available. And you can keep giving them this high-quality protein. Vis-a-vis your doctor, your vet, Jessica, it sort of reminds me of when I had this ACL repair on one of my Weimaraners, and just a wonderful guy was the surgeon. And so and Scooby was overweight. It's before I put him on the Honest Kitchen diet, which is a very small amount of his Halo kibble and a lot of the Honest Kitchen, which is a lot of fruits and vegetables all ground up with protein, and it's extremely bioavailable and very low carb, and a lot of extra vegetables and a lot of extra protein. And that's what I wound up doing. Just the diet that Donna just described for herself, that's exactly what I wound up doing for Scooby. And so I was in his office, and he said, oh, this dog's got to lose weight. I said, oh, I just thought he was big boned. I was like one of those idiotic mothers who goes, he's just got big bones. The dog was fat. It was well distributed. He's very tall. So it was well distributed. And he said, and he had a list, a checklist of all the foods that this very big specialty vet clinic knew about, every brand possible. He said, so what food do you feed? So I said, Halo. It wasn't on the list, so he didn't know what it was. That's like a super premium brand. The Honest Kitchen, didn't know what it was, wasn't on the list, thought I was out of my mind. Like anything I mentioned wasn't on his crummy list of all these like high carb, low quality ingredients. Like Donna said, the pet food industry grew up not around taking the best steak or chicken off your dinner plate, but everything but that. Right? And so that became sort of like the cart and the horse. If the pet food is made of the remnants of the human food manufacturing process, then the cheapest stuff, the most carby stuff, the most indigestible plant fiber stuff is what's in there. And since that's what's in there, then you rationalize it by saying, well, that's what's best for them, right? Because it's what's in there. But it's what's in there because that was what was left over and is the cheapest way to keep them nourished. You know, it's sort of like all those. So I think that you have to, if you like your vet on all the other areas, one thing you personally are really knowledgeable about and have a lot of access to information about is nutrition. I personally do not ask my human doctor what I should eat for the rest of my life. And I don't think people that go to a pediatrician probably ask what to feed their child that day for lunch because, you know, that human doctors don't get much nutrition training either. It's not their job. And, you know, vets are kind of in this strange place where it becomes their job because people are really fascinated by what to feed. And then they're selling something. So if they're selling something, anything at all, they're not really very objective. You know, they have to justify the thing they're selling. So it is a conflict of interest. I just personally don't think it's kosher for a doctor to be selling you stuff that they say is the best stuff because they're selling it. Kind of a, you know, it's a problem, a built-in problem, right? Well, we're really glad you called. We're going to definitely hook you and Donna Spector up because she's got so many various exotic problems for people's animals, and it can help her understand how their blood work works. Thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me.
It's just keep on checking in with us. We just love to have an ongoing conversation, especially with smart and interesting people. Thank you, Jessica. Have a great night. We're going to go to a break. And when we come back, the number is 888-627-6008. Isn't there a pause in the dog show? 888-627-6008. We'll be right back. This show is supported by the pheromone products Feel Away for Cats and Adaptil for Dogs, which are used to create a positive environment for pets experiencing any kind of stress. Pheromones are chemical communicators that replicate a signal of comfort in your pet's brain and are especially comforting for newly adopted cats and dogs. Feel Away diffusers and spray for cats help with feline behavior issues in a multi-cat household, for out-of-litter box issues, and to get a cat used to her carrier for travel or vet visits. Adaptil for Dogs helps alleviate anxiety and stress-related symptoms in puppies and adult dogs and comes in a diffuser, spray, and the most effective way, a collar. You can find the pheromone products, Feel Away and Adaptil, through the link at RadioPetLady.com to Dr. Sean's own website store, PetCareNaturally.com. Cat Chat and Dog Talk is also brought to you by Platinum Performance, a supplement scientifically shown to improve the cognitive ability of dogs in a study designed to measure their learning ability. The dogs supplemented with Platinum Performance Canine Wellness learn faster than every other dog in the control group, navigating through a maze with greater ease than the ones not taking the supplement. When the dogs were tested on how well they remembered the skills learned in the first phase, dogs on Platinum Performance Canine Wellness demonstrated superior memory by completing the tasks more quickly. To give your aging dog that mental edge, especially as she gets older, go to the RadioPetLady.com website to find free samples and learn more. Vector 3D for Dogs also brings you this show. It is a safe and effective topical anti-tick and flea treatment you put on your dog's skin once a month to repel ticks, fleas, mosquitoes, sandflies, lice, and mites. In scientific tests, Vector 3D was shown to kill ticks fast and reliably for the entire month. Unlike older products, which don't last the full 30 days and only kill ticks that bite your dog, which actually transmits Lyme and other tick-borne diseases, with Vector 3D, ticks are killed just by coming into contact with your dog, but it's still safe for the people in your family. Vector for Dogs and Cats is the anti-flea topical treatment that not only repels and kills fleas, but kills all three life cycles of the flea, ridding you of them permanently. Vector is only available from practicing veterinarians. To learn more and find out how your own vet can get the Vector products, go to RadioPetLady.com. We are back, and I have another question for you, Donna, because I've kept this fabulous little bunch of them from the times that I didn't have a chance when there was no dog show to answer this. Okay, this is quite a funny one. This is from Chloe and Pookie's mom, Angela, from Roslyn, New York. Question number one. We have a King Charles Spaniel. Her name is Chloe. She's a recycler. She recycles her own feces. Is this normal behavior for a dog? I don't think so. Is there something we can do to stop her from eating her poop? She has such a cute face, but I just can't kiss a face that stinks like feces. LOL. Corprophagia. Gross.
Yes. Yes.
Now, I do know that one of the reasons that dogs eat their own poop is because they've either been raised in a puppy mill, in a mass production facility where they're in wire cages and they're often underfed and they're anxious and they're starving and there's feces in the cage with them. Or there, one friend of mine adopted a dog from the Southampton shelter through My Help, which is the official shelter of Dog Talk, my NPR show. And that dog had been in a severe hoarding situation and probably was living on the feces of herself and the other dogs that were in this horrible situation. Is that why dogs do it?
Well, what you've described – so there are medical reasons. There are malnutrition reasons, the EPI, German Shepherd, we talked about earlier. Those dogs often eat their poop. So if there are digestive issues, if there's parasitism, if there's gross malnutrition, you know, the anxiety that you talked about, yes, those things can all actually cause poop eating. However, by and large, it is behavioral and it is not medical in nature.
Right.
The way a lot of times it's young dogs, young dogs start and then hopefully they quote unquote grow out of it, but they don't always. But one is it's just think of the infant children with the oral fixation puppies, yes. Like human children. They go through a phase where they put anything and everything in their mouths in order to investigate it. Unfortunately, that often includes feces. And again, as dogs mature, a lot of times the habit goes away, but not always. So one thing owners can do is encourage oral investigation, toys, other objects. And then the biggest thing, do not punish or give excess attention if your puppies or young dogs start eating feces, because they're looking for attention and it's negative attention, but it's attention. And so you're like standing over them. Oh my gosh, it's so disgusting. Stop, stop, stop. And the dog's like, oh, look, every time I eat my poop, my human owner is like giving me all this attention. So it reinforces the behavior. And it's like the hardest thing. If your dog eats poop, just be like, okay, no big deal, and like, don't give it excess attention. Because a lot of times it is an attention getting behavior. We get so upset when we see them eating poop. And so that's what they want. They want the attention.
Okay, so there's other things you can do. In the dog Bible, I have three or four things you can do to put in a dog's food that in theory, which makes no sense to me at all, makes poop less appealing. Now, on my top 10 list. Yeah, I was going to say, it isn't really on my top 10 treat list for myself or for anybody, but you can put grated raw zucchini in the food or pineapple. This is in theory. Right. I don't know if it's true. There are some products that are made by vet companies that Nature Vet has one that you put it in the food. My friend Jill, this dog that had the terrible hoarding background. This is hilarious. She had, I don't know where this idea came from to her. She made a spray bottle of water and lemon juice, and she would immediately squirt lemon juice on the feces after the other dog had a bowel movement. I said, it'd just be better to pick it up rather than running around spraying lemon juice on it. The really best way to solve it is to not let the dog have access to feces. It's very simple. You don't just have a backyard your dogs go into and fill it with poop. And like every so often go out there and scoop it. You act like you live in a city. You walk behind the dog. And if you need to put them on a leash when they're going to evacuate their bowels, you follow them with a baggie and you pick it up. Because if there's no poop available, they won't eat it.
And the only downside of that, and the only downside of that is the dog who we call acts as a housekeeper. And those are the ones that are if they're crated, they're kenneled, or they're kept in one room within the house, they learn to function as their own housekeeper. They see you pick up poop, so when they poop in their space, they clean it up the only way they know how, and that's eating it. So sometimes it's a little more complicated. I agree with you. Limiting access is number one, but if you've got a crated kennel dog, they see you pick up the poop. They're like, oh my gosh, they're going to reprimand me if I like, so they pick up, they eat it because. And that's the other thing. The other dog who is the hide the evidence. Oh, my God, I pooped, so I'm going to hide the evidence by eating it because they know their owner is going to reprimand them when they find that they've pooped, which always goes back to don't punish the dog because it just reinforces the behavior. But I agree with you. And pick it up. Don't allow them access to it. That's the easiest way to solve it.
And what about the products, the coprophagia products? I think they go in the food.
Of them are like meat tenderizers. The fresh pineapple has pepain. It's an enzyme in it. Like you said, it makes them taste distasteful. Whatever. It's like So I think they work for some dogs. For some dogs that it's more behavioral, though, I mean, they know they're eating poop and they're just going to eat it because they don't want to get in trouble. They don't want to, it's behavioral and it's not really about the taste. It's like they're going to pick it up. They're going to eat it because they're just keeping their own space clean or they're hiding the evidence. So
life is complicated. You'd think life would be a lot easier for a dog than having to figure out what to do with your duty. But
there are the biggest thing though is like you see your dog eat poop, most people freak out. And it's this exuberant, oh my God, you just ate the poop. And it just it's so hard to teach them, no response, flat face, don't do anything. And pretty soon they're like, well, that's not getting the attention they want. And so they just, a lot of them just stop.
Yeah. That's okay. So that's how we can help you in Rosalind. And then her other question was more of a behavioral one. So I might save it No, I could actually say it was so funny that she, I don't know, the dog doesn't bark to go out. She wants it to bark to go out. Honey, you are so funny. Question number two. We also have a Pomeranian. His name is Pookie. He's 4 years old. He needs to be walked at least 3 times a day. Well, okay, yeah, at least is right, because little dogs have little bladders and, you know, little intestines, and they need to be walked a lot more times a day than a large dog often. But I want to know how I can train him to bark to be let out to go to the bathroom. I can't always walk him. Well, that's not okay, Angela. And if I don't, he just lets loose wherever he goes. Yeah, of course, because he really has to go. I've tried the wee-wee pads, to which he just chews them up. Well, okay, that is sort of funny, but, you know, it's really not an option to have a dog that needs to go out, I would say, at least 4 to 5 times a day. Small dogs have to evacuate more frequently. It's not okay to say, I just can't always take them out. You cannot have a dog that has certain physical needs and not meet them. I mean, yes. I just feel that really strongly.
Right. I mean, like you want a teacher or a daycare giver that comes in and,
absolutely. Now, the other thing you can do, there are a couple of really excellent products that go in the house for small dogs, which are, there's one called the Pet Loo, and it's actually really good. It looks like a kind of piece of AstroTurf, but it's very clever. The dog pees or poos on it, like a little square of fake grass. It's mm-hmm. elevated, because I saw this at Super Zoo last year, and it really is one of the better ones that I've seen. When it goes into the collection pan underneath, there's a gel in there, and it immediately absorbs it. So there's no liquid to slosh around, no smell. You have to scoop the duty off of the top of the AstroTurf, but the wee-wee just goes right underneath and then turns into a gel, which can be discarded. I think it's also environmentally correct. You need to offer your dog a place to go to the bathroom inside. A wee-wee pad isn't necessarily the option. But an indoor place to pee or poo is essential if you're not going to be able to allow that access frequently. It's just, you know, and to ask the dog to bark to be let out, that's not really a behavior you want to teach, actually. I want the dog to bark. I want you to bark to remind yourself to take the dog out. It's not really the dog's job to remind you that his bladder fills up.
Right, or she could even do, I mean, you know, better than the barking is the bell on the door. You know,
the Poochie Bells. Yes, that is a great idea. There is something called Poochie Bells. They hang on the door, and lots of dogs can be taught to nose them or paw them in order to go out. And it's very easy training to do. So the Poochie Bells is actually a very good idea. Yes, good point. That and or, especially in colder, harsher weather, because she's
the
in
Pet
Loo.
I love it. The Pet Loo. Don't they have like the mini wee?
I'm sure they have the mini wee.
The Pet Loo is the big one and the mini wee is the little tiny one. Oh, I love it.
It's always something. You know, there's a solution to every problem. We're going to be right back with more solutions after this quick break. Last chance, well, nearly last chance, second to last chance to call in. 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. Candace, if you're out there, you wrote in and said, whatever happened to Cat Chat and the Martha Stewart channel? And I know you're listening, and you are so welcome to call in and say hi. We'll be right back. Support for this show comes from Woruva, the pet food company that thinks dogs and cats should eat as well as we do. So their foods are made in a human food facility from ingredients we could eat ourselves. We salute Woruva's ethical decision to not make any dry food because they know that for optimal wellness, small dogs don't need highly processed carbohydrates, and that true health for cats who are obligate carnivores means they should eat only meat. Woruva's many different canned recipes, cats in the kitchen in pouches, and their more economical BFF, best feline friend, all offer your pets a wide variety of flavors and ingredients. Go to RadioPetLady.com for more information. Cat Chat and Dog Talk is brought to you with the support of Goo Silver, a holistic supplement for senior canines developed by a veterinarian to help aging dogs maintain mental sharpness and physical well-being. Goo Silver is a peanut butter-based lickable product with all-natural ingredients that is a broad-spectrum canine supplement addressing the special needs of your aging dog's mental state, anti-inflammatory ingredients for joint discomfort from arthritis, and antioxidants for his immune system. Visit GooSilver.com for more information. Dr. Sean's online store at PetCareNaturally.com offers feel-away for cats and adaptable diffusers and collars for dogs, along with many of the supplements he uses in his practice of integrative holistic medicine in Plano, Texas. He has also developed a number of healthy products like itch relief shampoo, all-natural herbal earwash, olive leaf plus, and CI support, supplements to support the immune system for pets with cancers. Go to RadioPetLady.com to get the 10% off code and monthly specials for Dr. Sean's store at PetCareNaturally.com. I'm going to give you that phone number one more time, 888-627-6008. I have not given out the Catatrack coupon because I idiotically tried to give it to a Chihuahua earlier, and that didn't work out. So if you have a cat with any questions, give a call, and we will answer them, and you will be the cat attract coupon winner. I guess I already said I'd give one to Leah, but I could give another one away. It's quite easy to do. I just want to remind you of the fun contests and promotions. There's the Nordic Naturals, Me and My Dog, and Me and My Cat. You just have to send me a picture of your dog or your cat, and that enters you in the contest with really, really great prizes. A dog Bible and a cat Bible and the Omega Pet and Nordic Natural for yourself. Just send it in to RadioPetLady@gmail.com. Also, if you have any story you can tell about how your cat is weirder than Bubba, the Necco Flies cat who likes to be blow-dried every day, there's going to be some wonderful Necco Flies with critters given away. Halo has an introductory special. For only $20, you get all of their stuff, canned food and a little bag food and treats, no shipping, quite a good deal. RadioPetLady.com has that info. And Necco Flies has 10% off if you want to buy a Necco Flies wand toy, which is actually a really great present to give to any of your cat-loving or cat-owning friends. Here's a good question, Donna. Hi, Tracy. Love your show. I have a question. This is from Terry. My daughter recently took her Chihuahua to the vet for allergy issues. The vet said no dairy at all for dogs. I have never heard of this before, so I was wondering what you thought. Thanks so much. My personal response is, once in a while you get a lactose intolerant dog, like you get a lactose intolerant person, you know pretty quickly they get very gassy or they get diarrhea. I've never heard of no dairy at all for dogs. Have you, Donna?
No. I mean, one thing is after dogs and cats, for that matter, are weaned from their mothers and they're no longer eating milk product, you know, drinking milk or milk products routinely, they have lesser and lesser of the enzymes necessary to digest milk. And so all of a sudden, if they've not had any milk products and then, you know, when they're 6 years old, you give them a slug of dairy products, you know, they may have some issues with it. But they can rebuild those enzymes. So, you know, if you have little bits, you know, kind of all the time or, you know, little bits here and there, I mean, there should be no problem. You're right. You may get your occasional fully lactose intolerant, but that's rare, few and far between.
And not only that, but milk is one thing, but dairy is not milk.
Right.
Dairy is all products that come out of animals that make milk. That means
cheese,
which has almost no lactose in it.
Right.
Cottage cheese, almost no lactose in it. And yogurt, almost no lactose in it. And my dogs get not just every single night before bed. They get their bedtime treat of yogurt every single night with some other little scraps of stuff in it just for fun sometimes, but a big blob of plain yogurt. And it's extremely good for digestive health. It's protein. It's like altogether great. And like Donna said earlier about being lighter on the planet, one meal a day for my dogs is scrambled eggs and cottage cheese instead of the meat portion. So to say no dairy is really goofy. My dogs have cottage cheese and yogurt every day. And those digestive enzymes that are in their stomach have never gone to sleep because they've always been given those things.
Right.
So –
and if there's a pet owner who hasn't been routinely giving anything, you know, start slowly and, you know, because it can cause some initial issues, but for the most part, they will retain the ability to digest those things or, you know, start back up slowly and they'll be able to digest it just fine.
Do you find that there is a kind of anti-dairy kind of movement? I mean, even as a mom with kids, that people are like, no cow milk for human children, it's only for calves. Do you find that there's a lot of like mom things about dairy? Or I find that in California for years, people said, oh, humans shouldn't have any dairy. It makes mucus. Humans aren't meant to take in dairy.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Yeah. I mean, yes, I think, you know, every given day there's just something new, right? You know, that's like the new thing not to do or to do.
That's right.
You know, so I think, you know, and for me, I'm like, everything in moderation is just okay. And if it's really good, healthy ingredients, like it's okay. But, Yeah, I mean, I think there is, you know, we see all these things coming into question, and rightfully so.
Yeah, and just common sense is always, I'd say, the I think it's just the best course of action. It's just use your common sense. If it would be good for you, it's probably really good for your pets. I mean, outside of, you know, like chocolate and raisins.
Right.
You know, otherwise it's all
right.
good. And
right.
then people are all afraid of onions. And they're like, I say, you know, it's okay if you have some leftover pasta. Give a little bit of pasta with sauce to your dogs as part of their meal or as part of their evening treat or something. And someone said, well, what if there's onions in the pasta sauce? Well, the amount of onions in a big vat of pasta sauce is not what we're talking about.
Right.
I mean, you know, people get all freaky. Well, why would you give a ton of onions to a dog anyway? Why would you have a ton of onions around?
Right.
You know, it's just like that isn't very logical.
Right.
Okay, Liz had a question about Vectra that I'm just going to answer. Liz in Arizona. This was 2 weeks ago. I hope Liz is still listening. You're not watching the dog show, are you, Liz? Okay, well, you'll hear this in podcasts. Those of you that are listening should know that there is a podcast library of the show, and there will be of all the shows on the Radio Pet Lady Network. So if you can't listen live, you can download it and listen on any device at any time and be filled in on whatever we discuss. But her question was regarding Vectra, which is the topical that I both use on my dogs, recommend, have done a lot of research about. It was invited to a vet conference to hear about parasitology and how all these parasites do horrible things to our animals and why they need protection and the safety of Vectra, both for dogs and for cats. They're very specific products for each. And she says that I made a comment on the show that the serum stays directly on the outside of their skin to provide a shield of sorts and not go into their system. How can this product not penetrate into their skin? I used this product and have had success. I just wasn't sure if I understood what was said. And what I said was actually true. It doesn't enter the bloodstream, which was actually something I used to think that it did. It is external, like oil would stay on the outside of your skin. It is an oil-based shield that disperses. There's a dispersal agent in it. That may not be the right word. It's something like dispersal agent. There's other fancy word for it that makes it move quickly across your pets. And it's one of the reasons that you see a dog and a cat sometimes having a strong reaction when it first goes on, because it kind of tickles as it moves very quickly across their skin, like as if it was a bunch of bugs, even, you might say, except for it's not. It's this shield. It doesn't enter the bloodstream. It doesn't put the toxicity, this is what I used to primitively also think, into the bloodstream so that the parasite has to bite your dog or cat, be it a mosquito or a tick or what have you, and then, oh my God, they get poisoned because your pet has poisonous blood. No. In the case of Vectra, first of all, it's a repellent, so it keeps the animals from even going on your dog. I've seen it with mosquitoes. The Weimaraners are so sensitive to bugs. When they newly have the Vectra on them, the mosquitoes almost like hover over them. They don't touch them.
It's a repellent.
It is a repellent. And then the other thing about it that's quite fabulous is if that parasite lands on the dog, it is killed by touching this stuff. You don't want the parasite to have a blood meal in order for this to work, because every time your animal gets bitten by a tick or a flea, it could be transmitting disease. It only takes one bite. It doesn't have to be attached for a really long time. That was a mistaken old thinking. So you don't want something where it needs to bite in order to take it in from the bloodstream, like some of these pills that some people give their dogs. They're supposed to be for a combination of heartworm and fleas and other stuff. That is in the bloodstream, but that requires that the parasite bite your animal. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for like the no-bite product. So that is the answer to that. And I'm sure that you have – do you get a lot of questions about a parasite control, Donna, from the vets that you work with? Or is it a quiet topic?
No, right? That's a pretty quiet topic. Pretty quiet.
And so what Donna does, just like she can do for you – and your problem with your vet, if you have an issue like Roscoe the Chihuahua where there's symptoms that aren't fully understood that may not get diagnosed in a certain way, or even like the incontinence where Donna, being sort of on the cutting edge of research and products and being an internist, is always keeping up on that stuff, which your own vet really doesn't always have the time to do. And she could say, oh, here's a product, Incura. This is a new and different way of handling it. But that's what she does for a lot of vets in the country who have issues and problems they can't solve themselves, and they want help. They're not going to just say, I don't know. They're going to go to the person who can help them. This is a curious question that I don't know if you know the answer to, because I don't exactly, but maybe you do. I have a male domestic short-haired cat, Kelly, who's 5 years old, and I noticed that the amount and size of his urine pies in the sandbox has increased. I guess she means the clumps.
Yes.
He's neutered and does not seem to drink water excessively. I have two fixed females, age 10 and 18, whose pies are about one-third of the size and less frequent. Is it normal that male cats pee more? They're on canned food only, diet of best feline friends made by the Waruva folks. Do male cats pee more, larger pies?
I love the pies.
Isn't that
I mean,
pies?
That's like
hilarious.
I love the pies.
It's like a cow pie.
Actually, you know, yes, they do have slightly larger urine volume. They will, but usually not. It's subtle, so usually a pet owner wouldn't realize that. When I hear about that,
yes,
my internist brain goes on, and I always worry, could that cat have a condition where it is actually producing more urine than it should be? So does this cat have early signs of kidney disease? Probably not in kidney failure, but are the kidneys maybe insufficient, not concentrating as well, so they make larger volumes? Is this cat in a pre-diabetic state? Is there something that could be creating larger volumes of urine? So honestly, I would march that cat's urine in for an evaluation, because I would just free catch a urine, check its concentration, check for protein in the urine, check for other elements in the urine, which may be early indicators of kidney problems, diabetes, et cetera. So
that's a really good point, because it shouldn't be that dramatically different. Because again, there'd be no logic. A boy doesn't necessarily pee more than a girl. He just has different equipment to do it with, but he wouldn't create a much bigger clump of pee than these aging girls. They're 10 and 18. They're getting older. Right. So, you know, sometimes that issue of the kidney problem happens to all animals as they get older. The kidneys begin to fail. So that is one of the things that is really useful to a vet, is someone who is that observant. Being that observant about your pet's behavior is a really valuable insight, a clue into health, or perhaps the beginning of ill health, because cats don't show much in the way of pain or problems. So you have to pick up all those little clues, like a cat that's suddenly not grooming, or their fur looks really, like, you know, dull and whatever.
One thing, and I will tell everyone, because this is an early thing to watch for, is what we call frosty paws.
Ooh, frosty I've never paws. Heard of frosty paws.
Frosty paws is the cat who has clumping litter. They get into their box, and when they start making lots and lots of urine, like they do when they're early diabetics or kidney disease, diabetics specifically, they get in and they're making so much urine, it soaks, it gets into their paws, and then the clumping litter gets stuck to their paws. So they have litter in their paws, and frosty paws is one of the earliest signs of diabetes in a cat, because they come in with these big clumpy.
Oh, my God.
And the pet owner will say, you know, wow, he's had that for like the last 2 months. So
good thing to know. Anyone feeding Kitty Crack, which is my name for any dry food, you have a much, much higher chance of frosty paws than any other cat, because there's a direct correlation between feeding dry food to your cat and your cat getting diabetes. It is the only direct known reason to have type 2 diabetes in the cat. We're going to be right back after this final spot and wrap up with some just riveting last question that Donna's going to answer for us. Frosty paws, I am loving that. We'll be right back. Support for the show comes from The Honest Kitchen, a family-owned company that makes 100% human-grade dehydrated pet foods, which are created in a human food facility, and batches are actually tested by people. The Honest Kitchen's all-natural, clean, safe products can assist cats and dogs with chronic health problems like itchy skin, ear infections, and GI upset, which are often linked to a poor quality or inappropriate diet. Go to RadioPetLady.com for information on free samples and where to call the company for a complimentary consultation to find out which recipe is right for your pet. This show is supported by Platinum Performance, where they know that comprehensive health for dogs, cats, and people begins one cell at a time. Platinum Performance Canine Wellness and Performance Formula is a comprehensive nutritional foundation formula for all dogs, which addresses canine health at the cellular level, providing a special blend of more than 55 nutrients that improves the fundamental health of each of your dog's 12 trillion cells. Healthy cells means a healthy dog. That's the Platinum difference. Platinum Performance Feline Wellness Formula contains taurine in every teaspoon, an amino acid that helps promote cardiac health in cats. Go to RadioPetLady.com to get the number to call for free samples and more information. All right, here we are, Donna. Last question. This is from Tiffany. I just love your show. Well, of course, now I love Tiffany. It's been so helpful. Tiffany, if you ever want to call in, I will send you a coupon for Catatrack litter, which is some really good stuff. It doesn't make frosty paws or large pies. That's just like one of the really great things about it. Your show's been so helpful, and so has your website. I've gotten rid of all the kitty crack, and I'm now only feeding my two babies wet food. Hooray for Tiffany. The change in their activity level and coats is amazing. Hear, hear for that. I wanted to know what you think of these three brands of kitty wet food and which of the three you might think is the best to be giving Boo and Usagi, my kitties. And then she names three brands, but the important thing to do is go to my website and download and print out the Cat Chat approved list of foods. I'm going to make sure that all of the Binky's List foods are on there. Any and all of them are good. When it's the supermarket brands, you must only feed, as Leah found out, the ones that are named. They generally not the cuts in gravy, because those cuts are not actually made of meat. They're made of things like wheat gluten and other scary stuff. So the exact flavors of those less expensive supermarket brands are also in there. But then she said, is it all right to feed lamb to kitties, or is that bad? And I've actually not been aware of a lamb kitty food. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, now that we're saying that, I mean, it certainly is not our most common protein source. I'm just thinking of a lamb cat food right off the top of my head. I'm
I can't
sure.
think of one. I mean, rabbit right. is the one that's in England and in Europe.
Right.
Rabbit is in so much cat food, and rabbit is extremely close to mouse as a protein. But right. we like Bugs Bunny too much in America. We don't eat rabbit. Generally speaking, the humans don't eat rabbit, and so right. therefore there's no rabbit sort of production
right.
for the animals too.
I mean, to claim my disclaimer, I mean, Halo has a canned lamb cat food. But,
well, there you go.
So, I mean, other than that, they do have it. But other, there's not that many lamb varietals out there, really.
Well, if Halo has one, that's a really good sign.
Yeah, the Wholesome Lamb is
yeah,
is
and
available.
that's one of the kibble that I feed made of Wholesome mm-hmm. Lamb to the dogs. Lamb is not a mass production item. Sheep are not, force produced the way chicken and other things are. They have to kind of roam around and be free range. So mm-hmm. it's more costly. And a lot of it comes from New Zealand and Australia,
yeah.
I think. So that there's a lot of transport issues, and it probably makes it pricier.
Mm-hmm.
And then she has a question that I think just goes back to that issue of Vectra and why I feel so strongly about the quality of it. She said, one other question, have you heard of what the blankety blank, I don't have to say the name, products have been doing to cats and dogs? It's a flea product. About how so many have been injured or killed just for trying to stop fleas from hurting their pets. Could you please bring that up on the next show? Well, what I can say to you is that anything that's sold in a supermarket that has to do with fleas and ticks is, just a different quality, a different level of seriousness about the product. And I don't know that it's killing anybody's dog. Sometimes these things are said on the internet. I pretty much doubt that. But where a lot of these products are concerned that people are buying over the internet, they are false products. They are not the actual product itself. They are counterfeit, very, very often made in China. And Vectra will only allow it to be sold directly from a vet to a client.
Mm-hmm.
They do that to keep any counterfeiting and to keep any poor product, fake product, into the marketplace. A vet has to sell it. So
right.
I just say that, if you're going to want to protect your pets, if you are in an environment where there could be fleas or ticks, you need to use something that holds itself to these very high scientific standards, and you get what you're paying for both in the quality of the parasite control and in the safety of those products. Their safety record is extraordinary. I mean, complaints about these products are that someone calls up and says, my dog kind of looked like he was itching and scratching for 3 minutes after I put on the stuff. Well, so he was acting like, ooh, there's something tickling me. That's not really a bad reaction. That's the level of response. The problems have been quote unquote problems like that. not anything to do with toxicity, death, or harm. So I think it's important to use products that are made, products that take themselves seriously for the job, and a company that tries to only get them into the supply chain in a way that there's real diligence about who made it and how it got to where it's going, you know, the end user, which is you. So that would be my answer to the other half of that. Donna, we've run out of time, even with the dog show, even with the State of the Union address. We have managed to let 2 hours just go by. This is what, if Donna and I sit down and have lunch, 3 hours later we sit up and we stand up and we're like, wow, all we talked about was these riveting, fascinating veterinary things. But they are really interesting, because if you've noticed, almost every single one of them has something to do with human health, too.
Right.
You know, I mean, what we learn about ourselves is useful for the pets and vice versa. Donna's and my show, which will be just like this, but only be 1 hour instead of two, is going to be on Mondays. It's called The Expert Vet. As you've noticed tonight, that is a very good name for what Donna is. And we're hoping that those of you that are listening to this show will believe me, the announcement of Radio Pet Lady Network, which will have all of the six live shows on it, is definitely going to be fun for everyone to listen. We have run out of time. Oh, my God. This was so fun. Kiss your kitties and hug your pooches. Donna, I'll see you on The Expert Vet very soon.
Thank you. Take care.